Welcome to Wear It Down, the Queer Killing Eve podcast. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Natalia. We're two queer women who are obsessed with Killing Eve.
Each episode, we go scene by scene and discuss Villain Eve, the best kills, and the queerest moments.
Fair warning, even though today we're only focusing on one episode, there might be spoilers ahead for seasons 1, 2, and 3. Welcome to the show.
Welcome.
This episode, we're going to be talking about season 1, episode 5 of Killing Eve, called I Have a Thing About Bathrooms.
This was written by Phoebe Waller-Bridge,
the great.
And it was directed by John East. And this originally aired on May 6th, 2018. So how would you summarize this episode in 3 words?
3 words. That's hard. I would say 1, exciting.
Ooh, yes.
2, dark.
Dark Eve rising.
And 3, homoerotic.
I feel like homoerotic encompasses the entirety of this show, though, for real.
I think exciting, dark, and homoerotic is the show.
I agree. Do you want to hear the Fandom Wiki synopsis?
Yep.
So, Fandom Wiki says, having survived a terrifying close call with Villanelle, Eve now has the mole ensconced in a safe house and is buzzing with gayness. They have an exciting opportunity to glean information and crack this thing open.
Ooh.
This thing open is the queerness, the relationship. I'm so excited. All right, let's dive in.
All right. So we start off in the field thing, I guess where we left off last episode, which is good because last episode was such a cliffhanger, right?
Right. And I'm happy that they pick it up right where it left off. Because as a viewer, I'm like, yes, give it to me, feed me, you know?
Mm-hmm. And so you see Villanelle like coming up the hill, right? First, you only see like her eyes.
Mm-hmm. She looks menacing. Mm-hmm. And I love it because I'm like, yes, scare me. Like, I really like this early season because I do really feel like I'm afraid of Villanelle a lot of the time, which I think adds to the mystery and, like, the intensity of her character. Mm-hmm. I love Elena yelling at Eve, who's, like, transfixed in the car, like, oh, my girlfriend. And she's like, come on, Eve, go. And Eve is just like,
she's like, I'm lost. Thinking.
Yeah. And she's like, she's waiting for something. She's waiting for me. And it's like, oh, Eve.
And then she says that she's looking at Villanelle, like, through the rearview mirror, right? Which, yeah. Again,
mirrors
keeps coming up.
Once again, what does it mean? Deception? Who knows?
I think it's interesting she says she's waiting for me, right? Like, she feels, like, special.
Yeah.
Like, she was the one that got, like, the suitcase full of, like, really fancy clothes and, like, all
and
these
the
things.
And the love letter.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, baby.
I feel like she feels, like, somehow kind of, like, taming a wild tiger, right? Like,
yeah.
She feels like she can do this.
Yeah, definitely. Ooh, I like that comparison a lot. And then it's really funny because Elena, you know, she's, the whole time Elena is screaming, and I feel like she's literally supposed to represent, like, logic and reason.
Mm-hmm.
But one, we never see Elena on screen. We just know she's screaming. And two, she's in the backseat. So literally logic has taken a backseat.
Ooh, that's a really good way to put it.
And she's like, wake up, Eve. She's an actual assassin.
Yeah, she's like, stop being a dick, Eve. I'll punch you if I have to.
Yeah. And she's like, listen, like, trying to reason with her. She's like, Eve, we will catch her again, okay? And you can do whatever it is you want to do with her. Gay things. And she's like, but right now, stop being a dick. Like,
she is being a dick, honestly. Mm-hmm. Like, she's being very selfish again.
I agree. Very, very selfish.
Like, I get that this is something that she really wants to do, and that's fine, and I support it, but she's putting these people in danger.
Yes. And once again, I think Eve gets so enthralled in the chase that she cannot understand anything outside of this little world and this little vortex of, like, desire and tension that they're creating together. Like, they are in it, and she cannot discern logic at this point from desire.
Oof.
Yes. And then we slip into the title card, right? And this one is really intense, right? Because usually we have, like, a creamy background, but this one is a black background with olive green letters, and the V is dripping this time. And I feel like the V dripping is really interesting because I feel like between the entire title card, I really feel like the V is the one that's, like, the longest, right? And also, I feel like it's something that they both share, the Eve, right?
Oh,
and, like,
they
the
both
v
have
and Eve.
V in their name. Mm-hmm.
And it's a very distinct V, right? We think Villanelle, we think Eve. Like, the V is so pronounced, and I think there's something unifying about it. I think it's a hint that they are coming together.
And they're going to be coming together later. And then Cry Baby Cry by Unloved starts playing, and I really like this song.
I do too. It's so intimate.
It's so good. So the lyrics are, if I gave you my heart, would you take it? If I gave you my heart, would you break it?
Oh, my goodness.
A little, I looked up the lyrics a little later on in the song. It says, don't give me your heart. I can't take it. don't give me your heart, I could break it. And I feel like the song is so perfect, like, to represent the romantic side of this relationship.
Definitely.
Like, whatever romantic feelings that they have or that they will develop throughout the series is going to lead to a toxic relationship.
Ooh, girl.
Because, one, they don't trust each other, and two, they don't trust themselves.
Yeah. I think it's kind of one of those things where it's like, you need to love yourself before you can give love. But I think at this point, it's like, you need to learn to not be toxic before you can be in a non-toxic relationship.
It's because they both carry this darkness in them, and... It's just toxic all around, right?
Yeah. It's fun to watch, but it's like, in the long run, you do want them to kind of, like, deal with their issues. Mm-hmm. But it's so fun right now.
Oh, for sure. So then Eve gets out of the car, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she sees Villanelle, and Villanelle just kind of, like, is taken aback.
I really like Villanelle's reaction, because at this point, like, we saw her, like, running after the car, and she's shooting after it, right? Mm-hmm. And I genuinely don't think that she knows that Eve is in the car until she actually gets out.
Mm-hmm.
And her expression really does tell us that she's taken aback. I think this is something that Eve does all the time with Villanelle, though.
Mm-hmm.
She throws her off. She unbalances her. And I think that is exciting, because... this is the only person we see that really does that to Villanelle continuously. And I really like that her expression is just, it feels very open and very vulnerable and very like, I didn't know that you were here. I didn't know that we were going to be engaging in this kind of like back and forth. Like, she seems so excited because she'd been so bored this whole chase of this man and this target. But Eve amplifies everything for her.
I also think part of her is impressed and is like, oh, you knew I was here, you know, like, and I didn't know that you were here.
Yeah.
Like, you were one step ahead this time. Yeah. That's weird.
You had more control in the situation.
Yeah.
But Villanelle's quick. Like, she's like, I need to snap back real quick and regain control.
Mm-hmm. And so they kind of stare at each other from really far away, just social distancing all the way. And it's really intimate, even though they are so far away.
Mm-hmm.
And Eve raises her hand, kind of saying hi, but also saying, like, kind of like a come in peace, you know?
Yeah. I like that. Almost like, this is my white flag, and I really just want to talk. Mm-hmm. Please don't hurt me. I won't hurt you. Like, let's just talk.
And she starts to walk forward, and Villanelle, I feel like, goes into full gay panic mode.
She does! Which, relatable, because honestly, I feel like she's overwhelmed. Her crush is in front of her.
I agree.
Her soulmate. And then she cocks the gun and, like, directs it at Eve, and Eve's like, oh! Like, ma'am!
Yeah, she stops in her tracks, and she raises her hand again, but then she also brings another hand up to, like, her heart, right?
Which is so intimate.
It's so intimate. I feel like this is her saying, like, it's okay, like, I'm not trying to fight, I'm not trying to attack, like, and whatever this is, this unspoken thing, like, I feel it too, right?
Yeah, oh, I like that. Like, she's like, I'm here with you. And I think that lets Villanelle be playful.
Yes. I think in this moment, Villanelle realizes that Eve is on the same wavelength as her, right?
Yeah.
Like, this isn't, like, a one-sided thing. Like, Eve feels whatever this is, she feels it too. Mm-hmm. And so this is, like, her moment of, like, let me test it real quick. Let me, like, point the gun at me.
Yeah.
And see what happens.
And I think once Eve, like, screams, because, you know, Villanelle does point the gun up, and she's like, no! And freaks out, and Villanelle just giggles. And that is good, because I really do think that Villanelle sending the suitcase, right, was her way of trying to apologize to Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And when Eve screams no, I feel like that is her confirming that the apology did work to some extent, and that she's still in the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I really think that she's like, we're still playing.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a confirmation she needed of, like, you're still in this. And then she laughs, right? Because I feel like she's so giddy. She's so happy. She's like, like, my crush likes me back still.
Yeah.
You know? And then she does this thing which I really love, where she kisses the gun and then she shoots at Eve's feet, right? It's like her version of, like, blowing a kiss to her.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Oh, it's so good. I really love that. And I feel like Villanelle, like, you know, she shoots the gun, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then she's out here, like, skipping away and, like, a little smile on her face and singing whatever. Because she's probably so happy that Eve is still in it.
Oh, 100%.
The excitement is back.
And I think it's so interesting that she actively chooses not to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
She chooses to abandon this mission for now for the sake of the chase.
For real. Because she's like, I now need to go see my girlfriend.
Yeah.
At a later date. I need to like, do some things first.
Yeah.
But I'll be back.
And then we move to the next scene, which is at a cafe. And Frank is eating a burger. And complaining about brown sauce.
And he's so disgusting.
Yes.
I think it's really funny to see him actually eat, which we're not going to dwell on this too long, but it makes me think back to when Eve had that conversation with Carolyn initially in that little cafe when she was being recruited to work for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, I was worried that you found all the pictures that we had of Frank eating.
Mm-hmm.
And actually seeing him eat, I'm like, oh, like, I get why they did that now, because he's disgusting. He's a rodent of a man.
Ugh, like, he's disgusting. I really hate Frank. Frank does this thing where, as an audience, you start to feel some sympathy for him, and then he fucking ruins it by being a total asshole.
Yeah, and I think it's because he's just a privileged prick, you know?
Yeah.
And he treats people horribly.
I agree.
Specifically Eve, who does not deserve it.
Oh, 100%. And then Eve, her first question is, like, who is she? Right? Because that's all she cares about is, like, who is Villana? Like,
yeah.
What do you know about her?
She's so excited. And then it's really funny because then he, like, gets up to leave to go get his brown sauce. And Elena says, who would spend that much money on that man? And I have the same question. But also, we know that he's, like, middle management. Like, to quote Carolyn, mm-hmm. middle management at best. And he literally got, like, low brass to come and kill him. Like, mm-hmm. that's who came to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
Except Villanelle's not low brass. But she has been demoted.
Yeah.
From what we can tell.
So, Frank finally says something useful. It says that one of the girls, Villanelle, was called Oksana.
Mm-hmm. Eve is so excited. She immediately perks up. She's mm-hmm. like, my girl? Mm-hmm. She like immediately calls Kenny and she's like, look for Oksana. If she so much has stolen a bar of soap, I want to know about
yeah.
it. Because she's like, I'm desperate. I need to know who she is. She's like, I want her files. She's like, I want information. Information is power.
Mm. And then this is also when Kenny tells her that they got the suitcase back and mm-hmm. Villanelle's DNA is like all over it, right?
Yeah. And it's funny because he makes the comment of like, she must know she's traceable.
Yeah. And Eve says either she's deeply arrogant or she knows she's protected.
And Kenny's like, both, probably.
Yeah, it is both.
And she's like, God, she probably is.
Mm-hmm.
And she is. We know this.
Mm-hmm.
And they start moving, like, Frank to the safe house, of course.
And he's being annoying.
Yeah, he's like, priority, and they conks the horn.
Ugh.
And it's like, you're not a priority. You're, like, a piece of sack of garbage. You know, like, I hate Frank. He's garbage. Yeah. And then we're finally at the safe house, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're showing Frank around, and I really do feel like the safe house embodies who he is. Very shabby, very dilapidated, just like him as a person.
Yeah, and during this whole scene he seemed really small, like a kid in trouble, right?
Yeah, they're walking around being like, this is where you're gonna go potty.
Yeah.
This is where you're gonna sleep. It very much so feels like a little kid being scolded. I like how firm Eve is with Frank here when she's mm-hmm. like, let's go, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
I love that she's not playing games with him. She's not being sympathetic with him. I think it's good. And she's mm-hmm. like, let's go. You're in trouble. Yeah. And I'm not going to cater to your emotions right now.
Yeah, I'm not going to coddle you.
Yeah. Because fuck him.
And then they go to the living room and Carolyn is there looking Ooh. Damn powerful.
She looks so good. I think the symmetry of it all
mm-hmm.
makes her feel like a pillar of power, you know?
Yes.
And I think because she's at the fireplace and the way she's standing, she's like right where the fire would be. She literally reminds me of like fire and brimstone, right?
Yeah. And then Frank has an anxiety attack, right?
Which I really like this because it's like a whole role reversal, you know? Like we always get the stereotype that like women are hysterical and mm-hmm. all these things, but he's one that's like, I need to sit down, can I go change my clothes, I need to take a bath. Like
mm-hmm.
he is trying to play every emotional angle, but the women in the room are completely direct, very like controlled, and they're mm-hmm. like, no bullshit.
Yeah.
Get your shit together. Yeah.
I know Phoebe Waller-Bridge talked about that a lot, about how in Killing mm-hmm. Eve, this gender role reversal kind of came naturally to her.
Yeah. And I think because it is natural, I think people have multitudes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Just women aren't the only ones that have emotions. Men have mm-hmm. emotions too. And women can also be very contained and direct and like hold confidence and be controlled, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's not dependent on gender, but I do like the reversal because it's not something we ever see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we consistently see.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy it as an audience member. And I think it makes the women in the room consistently powerful.
I agree. I really like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Carolyn kind of allows him, right, to, like, go get changed, but you're going to be escorted. And then Frank immediately is, like, in asshole mode again, like, snaps his fingers at Max and is, like
come with me.
Yeah, like, follow me.
You're my servant, which I think is bullshit. And I think it's, once again, Frank trying to regain control. And this is one of those moments where, like, we're semi-sympathetic, maybe, but then he turns around and mm-hmm. immediately does something like this. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
you are just playing a facade, a character, mm-hmm. and you are just an asshole.
It's like we've seen a lot of characters, especially Villanelle, using emotions to manipulate people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is what Frank is trying to do, but I don't think he's doing it well at all.
It's very poorly done. I agree. Yeah.
And we've seen him try to do that before as well when he brings up, like, his dead wife, right?
Mm-hmm. And I do think we need to talk about the fact that, like, Max is black, and mm-hmm. then he's being told by this white man
It feels to move very on. Racist.
Yeah, which we've already pegged him as a misogynist. I would also say that he is a racist. And then it's probably twofold for Eve, who is also Korean and a woman, mm-hmm. you know? So, yeah, Frank just losing points all around. I hate him.
Oh, for sure. He's in the negative points in my
book. Yes, he would go to the bad place. So, and then we have this great line from Elena, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's like, I need to go home.
Yeah. I need to go cry hump my ex, right?
I really liked, I love how open she is about these things and about like her emotional state without it disqualifying her as
well. Yeah, 100%. And then Carolyn is like, I understand.
Yeah.
Like, relatable.
Yeah, and then what does like Elena say?
She says, other than that, Carolyn, I've had an amazing day.
I think it's really funny. But I think it's good because she's still like actively working to align herself with these powerful women, right? Mm-hmm. And showing like, I can do this, I can take this, mm-hmm. I'm like equipped to do this, keep me on the team.
I just think it's so funny that she like very obviously is like talking just to Carolyn. It's like, mm-hmm. can Carolyn notice me?
Yes. Please? Yes, I love it. These queer moments, I love them.
And then Max comes back and says that Frank is feeling too weak to talk.
What a baby. And he's hiding. He's literally a little kid hiding.
Literally hiding.
Weak man. I don't like him.
Carolyn is like, I know exactly what he needs. I'm so sorry you have to see this. And the first time I watched this episode, I really thought she was gonna like do some like psychological torture on this man.
Yeah. But then she does the complete opposite. And I do think that she meets the needs that he has in this moment, which he needs to be coddled.
I think Carolyn is using the fact that she's a woman
to manipulate him.
Yes, to like bring some comfort mm-hmm. to him, to have him calm down, and to have him start spilling information.
Yeah, which he does immediately. And she's like, I need to know who they are. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because like she's holding him, but you can see from like her face that she's not in it. Like she's not trying, she's not enjoying giving him comfort, which I enjoy. I'm like, I'm happy you're not like invested. I think it helps me.
Yeah, because this is a weird scene to witness. It makes me uncomfortable to see Carolyn holding Frank like a child.
Yeah, it's very strange. And then, you know, Frank does start to spill the beans because she's like, I need to know who they are. And Frank finally says, like, they call themselves the 12, which, you know, more plot, right? Learn about who it is. And it's funny because Carolyn is focused so much on getting information and Eve is so focused on Villanelle, right? Mm-hmm. I like it, like, once he starts spilling the beans, though, Carolyn looks to Eve in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, more mirrors. What does it all mean?
I love me some good mirror action.
Yeah. I think the fact that we've mainly seen Villanelle in mirrors, but now we're seeing Eve in mirrors, I think is really important, too. Mm-hmm. And I think in this moment, it's deception, right?
Yeah.
She's using the mirror to kind of signal to Eve to like, okay, we're doing a deceptive thing. We're manipulating him with emotions. And Eve immediately understands, like, okay, we're going to record this conversation, mm-hmm. which is smart.
Yeah, it is smart. And I think you're right that Carolyn is focused on, like, getting information on the 12, right? Like, what do they want? What are they doing? All these things. And Eve is like, okay, but what about the girl? She's like, and the girl? You know, mm-hmm. like, what do you know about her?
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting because in the conversation that Frank has with Carolyn, he starts, like, explaining, like, how they manipulated him into getting information and what exactly the 12 want. And she's like, did they blackmail you? And he's like, no, worse. They offered to pay for my wife's medical expenses. And I think it's really interesting because he says worse because it's worse because they offered to help me, not hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolyn is doing the exact same thing with Frank in that moment, right?
Yes, 100%.
She is helping him, not hurting him. Because we expect her to hurt him, but she doesn't. She manipulates him emotionally, mm-hmm. makes him feel safe so that he'll finally just spill the beans. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so funny because he recognizes that's what the 12 did him, but he can't recognize it that it's happening in the exact same moment to him. Mm-hmm. Which I think once again emphasizes how foolish he is, mm-hmm. how easy of a target he was, mm-hmm. and why he really is just middle management. Mm-hmm. He's not that smart.
This is a really good way to put it.
Yeah. You know, Eve asking, like, and the girl. And Carolyn kind of looks at her a little annoyed, I think, because she's like, we need to get more information about the 12, the mm-hmm. organization. But Eve's fixation is clouding her judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank says, yes, well, they're very proud of her. They're using her to... And Eve latches on. She's like, what? What are they using her for?
And then he talks about, like...
just chaos.
Yeah, like, kind of the organization's, like, mission and how it's all really calculated, kind of... destroying things from the ground up and stuff like that.
Yeah, which is really scary and mm-hmm. strange. Because what is the ultimate goal of that mm-hmm. in the end? And one thing that I think is really notable is that Eve asks, and the girl. She doesn't ask, and the woman, right? When in regards to Villanelle. Mm-hmm. She says, the girl, which I think adds a layer of innocence to her.
Mm.
Which I think is really powerful. And I think to some extent, like saying girl, like a little girl, it shows... innocence and like maybe she's just doing what she's told but she's not aware of the implications of it
mm-hmm.
Which I don't think is deserving of Villanelle. I think she's very aware of what she's doing.
100%. I think this is Eve giving Villanelle some grace just because it's Villanelle.
Yeah, she excuses her so much.
Yeah, And we're going to see this come up again and again, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so then after the conversation with Frank, it's Carolyn and Eve talking, right? And Carolyn tells her that they found a male body, mm-hmm. which is small letter man.
Yeah, we know that.
Yeah.
But they haven't found Nadia. They did mm-hmm. not find a female body.
Mm-hmm. So this is when we know, like, Nadia's still out there.
She is. This girl's running.
But or hobbling.
She hobbling. Or crawling. Who knows?
Yeah. And then Carolyn asks Eve, like, if she needs an escort home. And Eve says no.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, which is wild because you just came face-to-face with an assassin who shot at you, right? Like,
also knows where you live.
Mm-hmm.
She's very aware of you and, like, your existence. And y'all are in the same city. I would be afraid.
100%. But Eve says no. And I think it's because she really would like to run into Villanelle again.
Mm-hmm. I think she would like it if it was just the two of them.
Yeah.
Genuinely.
Without, like, someone yelling at her that she's a dick, right?
Yeah, and they'll punch you.
Yeah, without you know? Having to pretend.
That backseat of logic, you know?
Well, she's going to get what she wishes for very soon.
Yes. Oh, so exciting.
And then we're at the bus stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
And No Friend of Mine by Unloved is playing, which I tried so hard to find lyrics for this song, but nobody knows what the lyrics are.
Literally, like, we went on one site, and it's literally just, like, a shrugging, like, emoji thing where it's like, I don't know what they said. Like,
and a bunch of question marks.
Yeah, which is really funny. I think the ambiguity of that is good, though, right?
Yeah, but if y'all know the lyrics, let us know, because I'm very curious to know what the lyrics are to the song.
Yes, please email us. Please, please, please.
Because this is a really good scene, too.
Mm-hmm.
So Eve wears her hair down, right? Like, she wears it down.
I think and it's funny because she takes it down, but I don't think she realizes, like, I think she's doing it generally because she's like, I just need to, like, let it down.
Yeah, like, she's had a long day. Like, she just needs to, like, let go.
Mm-hmm.
And, like you said, I don't think she's actively thinking about what it means and the implications of letting her hair down. But once she does let it down, I feel like this triggers some, like, dark Eve energy,
yes.
right? Yes.
Mm.
Like, I think when she lets her hair down, she becomes more in tune and more open to, like, these dark, creeping feelings and
thoughts, that desire.
You know?
And then, of course, Eve, like, turns to the right, and she sees that crack, and it's an X, right? It's two intersecting lines and with a main point.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where she points her fingers.
Yeah, she, like, puts some pressure on there, right?
Yeah. And I think she seems like she's getting lost in that moment of, mm-hmm. like, staring at it. And I really do think that this scene is symbolic of mm-hmm. Eve's journey, right?
Oh, yes. I think the crack represents, like, kind of this darkness that's been inside her all this time, right? Like, slowly spreading, like a crack does, kind of slowly spreading.
Yeah. Like, cracks in the foundation.
Yes. And, like, her normalcy, right? Her facade of, like, I'm just a normal, like, wife, normal, like, woman. I want normal things in life.
Yeah.
But then there's this little bit of darkness inside her that's creating that crack that's slowly, mm-hmm. slowly... catchy monkey, no, that's slowly spreading. And I think you would think that Villanelle would be the one to shatter it
mm-hmm.
and to, like, break that normalcy, but it's not. It's Eve herself. Like, she literally swings her arm and smashes the glass.
Yeah, and she looks does it so to herself. Lost.
Yes.
She looks so lost in the moment of swinging her arm, and, like, she can't help but give in and break mm-hmm. it. I think the whole thing, like, with the glass and the way that it's presented, because we're on the other side of the glass staring in at Eve, mm-hmm. right? She, to me, seems like a caged animal.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. I think this is her going a little bit feral, a little bit dark, right? Mm-hmm. Impulsive, and just wanting to break that glass, mm-hmm. break that window and be free.
Yes.
And the horror of what it means. And the horror of what it means to be free, right?
Mm. Ooh, I like that.
I think the X, the two intersecting lines, right? Mm-hmm. I really think one is Eve and one is Villanelle.
Yeah, like, right? one side of the crack is Eve's darkness, the other one is Villanelle's darkness, right? And, like, my monster encourages your monster.
Yeah.
Right? And at the center we have, like, the core of the crack.
Yeah. And it's like their meeting allows Eve to kind of see through, like, to the other side and be like, oh, wait, I could crack this glass, like, mm-hmm. if I tried, if I applied mm-hmm. some pressure.
And, like, I like that she presses against it first, like, with her fingers. It's, like, acknowledging its existence, right?
Yeah.
Acknowledging that it's there, that mm-hmm. this darkness is there, this potential is there. And she's almost in awe of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
She kind of stares at it. And then after she shatters it, like, I feel like that's just pure impulse, right? Just completely letting go, completely giving in. And then she seems like she's so overwhelmed by it. Like, she's almost afraid of herself and her ability to do this.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's like, as soon as that crack happens, she snapped back into reality, right? And then her phone starts going off. And who other than Nico to call her? The most boring person in the world, and also the person that tethers her to reality the most.
Yeah,
right?
I think that's a really good way to describe Nico. Mm-hmm. I think that's really his function in the show.
Definitely.
He's that tie for Eve. to normalcy.
And she seems really scared. Like, she immediately falls back even more so than usual. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I had to go back to the office. And she's like, are you annoyed? Ugh. Like, she's worried because she wants mm-hmm. to preserve the normalcy.
Mm-hmm. Like, she's, like, she just saw herself going off the deep end, right? And, mm-hmm. like, the potential of that mm-hmm. and the foreshadowing of it all. And then Nico's here and she's, like, holding on to him, like, for dear life, right? Because mm-hmm. she's like, I don't want to do this. Like, I want to be normal. I want to be normal.
Yeah. I want to stay caged and just, yeah. like, enjoy looking at it from afar. Mm-hmm. But I think she can't help it. And then when she does walk away, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't change the fact. Like, the glass doesn't just magically go back together. Like, the damage is done, right? And this is, I think this is a foreshadowing of Eve's journey, right?
I agree. Like, she, it's really interesting the way that scene is shot because you, the camera is almost at the ground level and you see the glass shattered and Eve walking away. Mm-hmm. And like you said, like, she's walking away, but the glass is still shattered.
Right? Yeah. And I think ultimately she is going to escape that cage that of normalcy mm-hmm. that is mm-hmm. controlling her and keeping her captured.
I agree.
So I'm excited to see that unfold. And I think this scene is really powerful for
it's
Eve.
So good.
Very, and I think it's a hint at her arc and I want to experience it as an audience. Mm-hmm. And then she goes back to the office.
Yeah, so she goes back to the office and she sees Bill's baby's blanket, right? And I think there's a reminder of all the horrible things that Villanelle has done. Yeah. I think it's a reminder to herself of, like, I should not be enjoying this as much as I am. Because then she mm-hmm. looks over at, like, the board, right? The bulletin board where she has, like, yeah. all of the kills and everything. And she's like, I should not be into this. Like, this is wrong.
Yes, like, the travesties of all the kills she's done. Mm-hmm. And, like, the baby blanket, right, is mm-hmm. a reminder, like, there is still the repercussions of what she did mm-hmm. reverberating in mm-hmm. somebody's life. And not just, like, this person's life, but the lives of the people mm-hmm. that were, like, hurt in those mm-hmm. murders.
Like, she's a whole-ass assassin.
And once, you know, Kenny comes back in, right, they have a little bit of an exchange about it. And there's some sympathy there. But ultimately, she's right back to wanting to look at the Oksanas that he's found in Russia.
Mm-hmm. And then she immediately recognizes Villanelle, like, from her prison record, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Kenny says that she allegedly died in prison 4 years ago. And, like, we can assume that that means she's been with the 12 for 4 years.
Yeah. And then she's like, what was she in for?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, she did some pretty weird stuff to a dude. And she's like, how would Elena say it?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, she chopped Snob off. Mm-hmm. And she's like, Jesus. Like, but that's Villanelle, you know?
That's Villanelle. And I think at this point we should go ahead and take a break because it's going to get hot and heavy in a little bit.
I'm so excited. Okay, yes, we'll be right back.
We would like to take a moment to address and acknowledge what is going on and has been going on in the world.
We mourn for the lives of our sisters who were brutally murdered. Rhea Milton and Dominique Remy Fells matter. Black trans lives matter. They have been added to a long list of black trans women who have been killed. Too often are we mourning the loss of trans women when we should be celebrating them in life. Black trans lives matter.
This fight is far from over, and it's our responsibility to keep this momentum going. Keep speaking up, protesting, donating, signing petitions, educating. Keep doing whatever it is that you can do. This is more than just a trendy hashtag. This is about dismantling the systemic racism that plagues our society and perpetrates violent bigotry.
For more resources on how to support the Black Lives Matter movement and Black Trans Lives, please check out the link in our episode description. And welcome back. We are going to keep going and pick up where we left off, which is when Eve gets home and she pulls out that suitcase.
Oh my god, yes.
Oh my goodness.
So she pulls out the suitcase, she opens it, and, you know, she starts looking at all the clothes.
But notably, mm-hmm. what is in there is the toothpaste.
Which I think is so cute.
I think it's very considerate of Villanelle, because remember she pulled it out in episode 3 and was like, oh, poor baby.
Yeah. And she's like, I'm gonna give this back to her.
Like, this is the one thing she can have back, because she needs it, because she's a baby.
It's so cute.
I'd never seen it before this, like, and we've seen it a million times, mm-hmm. right? But to catch that was so good.
Like, the little detail of it, you know, mm-hmm. she's like, here's your little toothpaste, baby.
Yeah, I think it's really sweet. And Sigh by Unloved starts playing, and I'm, like, out here heavy breathing. Like, my God. And there, and it, you know, that famous line plays where it's like, there's something about the way you are that makes me, like,
oh my goodness, it's so good. And so she pulled out the Villanelle perfume, right? Mm. And she, like, sniffs it. And the first time I saw this, I was like,
girl, the breathy kill.
Yeah, I, like, had, like, flashbacks to the breathy kill. I was like, girl, no.
Yes, but I was worried.
Yeah, but she's okay. She puts it on herself, right? And mm-hmm. then
And just, she puts it on her pulse points, right? Yeah. Both of her wrists and then on her neck. And then she, like, inhales deeply. And she's out here, like, transcending to the queer plane of existence. Oh, my
God. She really is, though. Oh, just inhaling so deeply and, like...
Wants to be enveloped.
Oh, yes. My God. It's so good. It is so fucking good.
And then Eve pulls out, like, the shoes, right? And she places them against her own to check the size.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's really interesting because you see the juxtaposition of this really elegant black heel and her frumpy, like, brown shoe, right?
Like, her house shoe. Yeah. It's, like, comfort and elegance.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, like, the stark contrast, right, between her and Villanelle and, like, specifically their lifestyle. Mm-hmm. But I think also it's a hint of how much, like, better and, like, more flaring and more elegant Eve's life could be. Not just in terms of fashion, but in terms of, like, just truly being her most authentic and chaotic self, right?
It's kind of like that phrase, like, if the shoe fits, and girl, it does.
It does fit. Ooh, that's a really good point. I really like that.
Yeah. And then, you know, she desperately starts, like, taking her clothes off and putting the dress on that she finds.
Mm-hmm. She seems angry, right?
Yeah, I think there's, like, a lot to unpack with this anger. I think she's angry that she can't get her clothes off fast enough. I think she's angry that all the clothes, like, is perfectly fit to her. Mm-hmm. And I think it upsets her that Villanelle, like, just knows her size and knows so much about her. And I think she's angry because she actually likes it. And she can't help it. Like, she's trying to fight the emotion, but she also can't fight the emotion. Mm-hmm. Like, she's giving into that desire.
Angrily giving in, but giving in nonetheless.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she turns around and she sees herself in the mirror. Mm. And it's so good. Like, I feel like she is surprised at how good she looks, right?
Yeah.
Like, throughout the season, we've gotten hints of Eve kind of having a low self-esteem in terms of, like, her looks, right? Like, she doesn't think that she's attractive. But in this moment, she recognized that, like, she's fucking hot. And she is fucking hot.
And she takes her hair down. Mm, she wore it down.
Yes.
She's so good.
I think in this case, it is very intentional, her wearing her hair down.
And she really just, like, fluffs it up and she plays with her hair and, like, runs her hands through her hair. And I'm just like, you wish those were Villanelle's hands in your hair.
Oh, my God. Fuck yes.
Queer-ass content. Queer-ass content.
And then, like, she's looking in the mirror, right? And, like, we talk a lot about mirrors. And in this case, I feel like the mirror represents, like, this glimpse, like, the sneak peek of Dark Eve. Like, this is who you could be. This is who you are, deep down.
Yes. And I think instead of it being deception, it's kind of the deception that Eve is playing with herself.
Mm-hmm.
Of, like, I deceive myself by thinking I'm normal, but this is who I truly am.
Mm-hmm. And what I love is that this Eve is exactly what Villanelle wants, right? Like, this is Eve with her hair down. This is Eve wearing the dress she picked out for her, the shoes she picked out for her. Like, this is her wearing, like, the Villanelle perfume, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like for Eve, this is her first act of submission.
Oh, my God. Yes. Yes, I love this. I also feel like there's a lot of self-love in this because I feel like she's really admiring herself.
She's checking herself out.
Yeah, like when she strokes herself, like her booty, and she's like getting into it, I'm like, yes, you want those to be Villanelle's hands.
Yes.
But there's also some self-love in it. Like, yes, Eve, you are beautiful. Enjoy that. Enjoy that you are beautiful. Embrace it. I love it.
I love that.
And
so
I love
much.
That to some extent Villanelle brings this out in her, makes her enjoy herself, which I don't think she does.
Yeah, I agree. I love this scene so much. It's so sensual. It's so dark.
And desperate.
Yeah, and there's no words, right? Like, she isn't speaking. There's no one else in the room with her. It's just her. And, like, even though she's alone, I feel like Villanelle is there.
Yeah. Letting her embrace who she truly is. Mm-hmm. I really like it.
That's so good.
And then Eve heads downstairs, and I think it's really romantic because she's, like, out here, like, drinking her wine. She picks up Villanelle's, like, case file real quick, her prison records or whatever, and she's, like, reading those while she's wearing, like, this elegant dress looking real cute, right? I think this is so romantic. Like, let me just, like, it's, like, the equivalent of, like, Facebook stalking your crush, right?
Yeah.
But she's looking through her prison records.
So funny. And so the prison records, like, now they're in English, right? And so we see exactly what they say. So Villanelle's crimes are... She attacked and wounded a school friend with a pen, age 8.
So it's been going on for a while.
Yeah, so this kind of lets us know, like, this is not, like, just that she was, you know, corrupted by someone or whatever. Like, this is something that innately has been in her since she was a child, right? Like, these psychopathic tendencies, this violent energy. Other crimes. She has caused grievous bodily harm, including castration, 4 times.
Yeah, Eve only talks about it once, but it happens 4 times.
Yeah, which is interesting. She's committed arson 2x, which I think is interesting. She's committed murder of an adult man 1x. And she has committed manslaughter of a minor once.
Who did she kill? I feel like this was young Villanelle being like, don't talk to me, and killed like a classmate because he was rude to her.
Probably, yeah. Probably. Honestly, I want to know the story behind all of these.
Same. I think we get glimpses of it throughout the season.
Yeah, we get glimpses of, like, you know, the castration, the murder, the arson a little bit, but mm-hmm. I want to know, like, in detail all of these.
Yes, same.
And then her convictions are that she was placed in a juvenile delinquent center from 2001 to 2006. That's 5 years that she was in there. And then she was arrested as an adult from 2011 to 2014, so 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just fascinating, right?
Yeah, I think she's lived in a system where she's been captured and she's been restrained. And I think she very much so values being free
mm-hmm.
and embraces the freedom that she has.
And it's really interesting when you look at the prison record, the picture that's there, even though it's clearly is, you know, like Jodie Comer, it looks so different from the Villanelle that we know.
Yeah, it's very gritty, I think. And it's a complete 180 to who she is now, mm-hmm. who's like elegant, in control, clearly lives in a higher part of society, right? Mm-hmm. Like, she's not controlled. I mean, she seems freer. Yeah. We know she's controlled by a higher power, but yeah, I like it a lot.
And then Eve hears, like, a sound. She assumes it's Nico, but she doesn't see him. And then so she's about to go back upstairs, and then she sees Villanelle just standing inside her house.
Yes. And I really like how Villanelle looks, like, mm-hmm. down the hall, and she's like, don't run. But she really does look like a outside cat that somehow got in and was like, oh no, you caught me, like, you didn't know that I was in here, like, still in some kibble, you know? Like, she really does look a little feral. Like,
she looks feral and small and nervous.
Yeah, like, oh.
Yeah, and she's like, don't run, and then Eve immediately runs
screaming, and she's like, god damn it, and she, like, runs after her, and Eve, like, runs into, like, her bedroom and, like, slams door closed and, like, locks it.
Mm-hmm. She's like, she's really scared. She's screaming. She tries to open the window. She tries to scream for help. She tries to find a weapon. Like, she's all over the place. And meanwhile, you hear Villanelle, like, knocking on the door, being like, open the door.
And she's like, I'm not gonna hurt you.
I'm not gonna hurt you. Like, and she says, open this door or I will.
I love that. She's like, she wants Eve to do it.
Yes, and it's so interesting that she doesn't just immediately kick the door open, right? She's like, I want you to open it for me. And I think this is so representative of their relationship in Villanelle's eyes. Like, she's like, let me in, or I will let myself in. Either mm-hmm. way, this is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah. You know? I like that a lot. That's really good. And then she finally gets kind of annoyed, and she's like, open the shit door. And she's like, what are you doing? Because she hears Eve, like, rustling around looking for something. And it's funny because it's like, Eve's looking for a weapon, right, mm-hmm. in her bedroom. But the scariest thing in her life, besides, like, the egg, that she can find in her bedroom is a toilet brush. Because there's no threat in her normalcy. And this is the best she can find.
Yeah.
And Villanelle finally kicks down the door, right?
Yeah.
Which is very attractive.
And she, you know, she's met by that toilet brush. And it's really funny. Because, like, she's even, like, taken aback. And she's like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, she's like, what the fuck are you gonna do with that? Like.
And she laughs. And then it's really funny because Eva's screaming, right? And I don't think Villanelle knows how to calm someone down without killing them. So she's like, I'm just gonna grab her by the neck.
Like, and tell her to calm down.
Yeah, just scream at her and that'll make her calm down.
Like, yeah, it's really funny. And she's like, stop screaming at me. I'm not gonna hurt you.
And she, like, pushes her into the bathtub, right? And, like, straddles her. And even though this is top Villanelle, it's so clunky and awkward and clumsy that it's just funny is what it is, you know?
Yeah, it's not, like, erotic. I mean, it is to some extent, but really, it's just comical.
Yeah. And then she says, I'm not gonna hurt you. And Eve says, you're hurting me.
Yeah, and also, like, you have hurt me before. Like, and, you know, because I think Villanelle doesn't want to hurt Eve necessarily,
mm-hmm.
but she has hurt her in the past in the fact that she killed Bill, you know?
Yeah. I think this is, like, a really clear representation of their relationship again, and kind of going back to that Cry Baby Cry song where, like, even if they don't want to hurt each other, they probably will because they are so toxic and so chaotic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Villanelle's literally saying, I'm not going to hurt you. And Eve is like, you already are.
Yeah. And then it's really funny because she turns on the bathtub, like, faucet, mm-hmm. and then it, like, starts, like, pouring water.
She's fucking waterboarding.
And then she's like, I just want to have dinner with you. And Eve is so confused, and she's like, okay.
Yeah.
And she's like, okay.
Yeah, but I was like, okay, I did it. I asked the girl.
Yeah, like, this clumsy gay. Like, she's so
fucking useless gay. Yeah.
I think it's really funny, too, because, you know, Villanelle, when she's trying to kill somebody, she's so graceful. But I think in these moments with Eve, I think Eve unbalances her, but I think also she's not trying to hurt Eve.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she doesn't want to kill her, so she's clumsy. She's awkward. And I think these moments are so endearing.
Mm-hmm.
So cute. And I think it makes him seem that much more lovable.
Yeah, I agree.
But also terrifying. But yeah. Also lovable.
But she is just a little, like, useless gay, you know?
Yeah, she's one of us. Like, she's so confused.
Yeah. And so then they're in the kitchen, and Eva's just dripping wet, right?
Which is so funny, because she's, like, real scared. She looks like a cat that's, like, had water, like drenched over her. And she's like, oh! Like, really scared.
Essentially, these are just two cats on a date.
Yeah. One's feral. The other one's, like, an indoor cat, but, like, ready to go feral. Yeah. At any point. And then she's like, what do you want to eat? And she's like, oh, I'll eat anything.
That pussy.
And she's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Which is really sweet. And her yeah, smile is so, like,
I mean,
ridiculous.
Yeah. She's really just out here acting like everything is normal, just making casual conversation, like, trying to, like, just do mundane things with her. And yeah. Eve is clearly terrified.
And, like, dripping wet. Like, mm-hmm.
She digs in the fridge, right, and she finds the shepherd's pie.
The iconic shepherd's pie. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I can put it in the oven, but microwave would be faster. And she sounds so small when mm-hmm. she says it. And Villanelle's, like, so reassuring. She's mm-hmm. so, like, it's okay. Like, you know, I'm not picky. Like, mm-hmm. I want this to be really easy for us, even though she, like, knocked down the door, broke in, you know, all these things.
Yeah, it's really funny. And then Villanelle's like, you're shaking. Because, you know,
yeah.
Eve is cold.
And Eve gives her a look, and she's like, bruh, I'm dripping wet. Like, yeah. And I'm cold.
Yeah. So Villanelle tells her to, like, you know, change. And she mm-hmm. says, I won't look. And then she stares.
Head ass. She's so useless. I love her. This fucking liar. She's like, I won't look. Stares openly. Like, she's so funny.
And then Eve can't unzip her dress. So, like, she kind of struggles. So Villanelle's like, oh, don't worry. I got you, baby.
Yeah. And the moment she gets up, Eve, like, tenses. And she's like, mm-hmm. oh. Because she doesn't know what she's going to do. She doesn't know how to read her yet at this mm-hmm. point. And Villanelle helps her. And she wordlessly unzips this dress for her. Mm-hmm. And she, like, takes the straps down. And she takes the whole dress off
yes.
of her. Yes. The whole dress.
Yeah. And then she says, you have a very nice body. Mm-hmm. She's out here openly checking her out. It's mm-hmm. so good.
I love it. I love it. Oh, my God. Ugh.
She's so unapologetic about it.
I love it. And it's not even a question of it. Like, she's like, you're attractive. And I'm gonna let you know you are, and that I'm gonna let you know that I think you are too. Mm. Oh my God, so queer. I love how open yes. she is with her sexuality, and it's not like something to bat an eye at, you know?
And Eve, even though she's terrified, she is wet in more ways than one.
Mm. Oh. Stop it. Okay, I'm ready.
And then Villanelle's like, do you want me to lay the table? And Eve is very forcefully like, no, you're my guest.
Yeah, right? But I think it's very protective of herself.
Yes, 100%.
She's trying to regain control, right?
Yes. Like, the little control she has in this situation, she wants to keep it.
Yeah.
Like, Villanelle is trying to play house, and Eve is like, I need you as far away from the knives as possible.
And then Eve goes to get, like, forks, right? Mm-hmm. And she knows that she needs to, like, grab a knife or something to protect herself. And she goes to grab it, and Villanelle looks really disappointed.
Yeah.
And then she kind of says very sadly, she's like, you don't want that to slip.
Yeah. Kind of a reminder, like, I know what's going on. You can't hide things from me.
Yeah. I see you.
Yeah.
I know exactly what you're doing. I'm very well trained.
Yeah. I do think she does seem disappointed, kind of sad. And she's like,
I just want to have dinner.
Yeah. And she's like, you can hold on to it if it makes you feel better. Which I think is actually really sweet of her. Yeah.
I think it's also a power move on her part because she's like, you can have it, but you're not going to be able to do anything with it. You know?
Yeah, and then Eve brings the shepherd's pie to the table, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to sit down, but she can't because of the knife in her pants.
She's like, ugh. Like, she didn't, like, plan it out well. And she, like, it's really funny because we have this really erotic moment where Villanelle just watches Eve reach into her pants. And, like, her eyes, like, travel down real actively, right? And she, like, pulls a knife out and places it down. And I'm like, yes, watch her put her hands in her pants, man.
Oh,
like,
my God. It's funny. And then Villanelle says, it's so nice to meet you. And Eve says, you too. And I feel like this is the first time anything that Eve says feels even slightly genuine.
Yeah, I feel like it's almost a sigh of like, yeah, like this is a true omission.
Yeah, like even though I'm terrified, I recognize this is an opportunity that I've wanted to have for a long time.
Yeah. And then she's like, why are you here?
And then Villanelle's like, ducks avoiding.
That question.
Yes. She's like, did you make this?
Like, oh no. Oh, your husband?
Yeah, and then he's like, he has an excellent mustache.
I think it's really funny because, once again, it's a power move. She's playing these cards out real slowly, like, 1, 2, 3, 4. Mm-hmm. And it's her way to be like, I know this about you, and I know this about you, and I know this about you. And mm-hmm. it's meant to scare Eve. And mm-hmm. I think it does. I think she is scared
of her. It does. And she's like, why are you in my house? And she's like, I wanted to see you. And Eve's like, why?
And then we have this whole ass monologue from Villanelle. And she's like, I need someone to help me. And then she starts crying. And she's like, I don't want to do this anymore. I know what I am. I know I'm not normal. I don't feel things. I'm sorry. I don't want to hurt your partner. Or I didn't want to hurt your partner. I don't want to hurt people. They make me do it. If I don't do what they say, Eve, I have nowhere to go. I need help. Eve, please. I'm so sorry.
Just stellar performance. You know,
stellar performance.
Literally sobbing.
And I think with anyone who wasn't aware of who she was, and I think if it wasn't anyone but Eve, really, I think they might have fallen for this, but it's very clearly an emotional manipulative tactic, you know?
A classic Villanelle move.
Mm-hmm. And yes, and Eve is like crying, right?
Yes, Eve is also crying.
So to some extent, we think she's falling for it, but then...
But then she says, bullshit. Bullshit. She says, God, you're an asshole, Oksana.
Ooh, and this look that Villanelle, like whips back. And mind you, she had been crying, but then when she pulls back and she's, like, impressed with her and, like, is still, like, traces of that crying are still there, but she's, like, laughing.
Yeah, I feel like she's genuinely impressed by Eve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at this point, she realizes that Eve and her are very similar. Like, she realized that Eve truly sees her. Sees through her bullshit and sees truly her. Right? Yeah. Which is something that people don't do with Villanelle.
No, they don't call her on her bullshit.
No. And so it's, like, a really good challenge for her, but also just really exciting to be seen.
Yeah, it's someone to play with.
And then she says, you are so pleased with yourself. Like, kind of flirty. But as she says this, she's still crying. Like, there's still tears, like, rolling down her eyes. Or... As she says this, there's still tears, like, rolling down her face. And the contrast of it all, of her kind of laughing and also crying at the same time, is so terrifying. The fact that she has so much control over, like, her expression of emotion, right?
And then Eve says, I know more than that. I know you're Russian. I know you're exceptionally bright, determined, hardworking.
And Villanelle is like, what else?
And then Eve says, I know you're an extraordinary person. And once again, Villanelle keeps going, what else?
Mm-hmm.
And Eve's like, I know something happened to you. Villanelle again, what else? And then Eve drops that bomb where she's like, I know you're a psychopath. And she's like crying because she's nervous to say all of this. I think she's scared because she doesn't know how Villanelle will necessarily respond.
I think it's really interesting that Villanelle keeps saying, like, what else? What else? Like, what else do you know about me? Yeah. You know, I think part of it is a self-preservation thing of, like, how much do you know about me? Like, you know, like, kind of gauging that. But I think another part is her being excited about the fact that Eve has been researching her.
Yeah. I think going back to the first point, I think information is power, and she wants to know how much power and control does Eve have in the situation, and what angle can she take to manipulate if she needs to.
But then when she calls her a psychopath, she says, you should never tell a psychopath they're a psychopath. It upsets them.
And she is crying a little bit.
Yeah, so in this point, she still has tears in her eyes, and I do think... Part of it is maybe semi-genuine. I do think this is kind of a trigger word for her, right?
Yeah, I think what sells that for me is when Eve asks, are you upset? And though Villanelle kind of plays it off and is a little silly and she, like, puckers her, like, little lip or her pouts her, like, bottom lip and she, like, nods her head like,
which is really
like
a baby.
It is really cute. But then she goes back to eating and sighs a little and she's like, stupid word.
Yeah.
I think that line sells it for me, the fact that there might have been some genuine hurt feelings in being called a psychopath. I think it takes some fun out of it. I think that word has probably been used derogatorily against her. And I think it's something that carries a lot of negativity for her. And I think we're peeling back a little bit of the, like, she knows who she is and she tries not to dwell on it. She doesn't want it to be a negative thing between her and Eve. You know?
Yeah, I think so too. I think it really does upset her to be called a psychopath.
Yeah.
Even though she jokes about it, I think it does.
Yeah.
Which is ironic because when you think about a psychopath, you think about, you know, lacking emotions, right?
Yeah.
But one of the few things that does make her feel something is being called a psychopath.
Yeah, which is really ironic and interesting. I agree. And then Eve asks, are you here to kill me?
And she says, we're just watching you.
I think the we saying that is reminding Eve that, like, I am protected, but I think it's also, there's a little bit of vulnerability, right, when she's called a psychopath. And the we, I think, is a shield saying, like, I'm not alone. Like, I am protected. I am okay. You know?
Yeah.
Kind of trying to mask some of the vulnerability that she was feeling.
And then Eve is like, who do you work for? Why are you killing these people? And Villanelle just mentioned, right? Like, she's just avoiding the question. And then Eve is like, do you not know? And I think this really irritates Villanelle.
Yeah, because once again, information is power, right? And I think being pointed out that she doesn't know something upsets her mm-hmm. because she really enjoys being knowledgeable, but she doesn't know who she really works for. Mm-hmm.
And she says, do you know who you work for? And then they have this back and forth, right, where Eva's like, yes, and Villain's like, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Like, do you know?
Mm-hmm. And then she's like, she has this really, really important line. She says, I think if you went high enough, you'd probably find we work for the same people.
And I think what really makes this line important is that it's equalizing, right? Mm-hmm. You know, with Eve and Villanelle, there's this constant back and forth of power and control and who's one-upping the other. But I think that singular line, especially coming from Villanelle, who, like, loves control, loves the game of it, it equalizes them. It puts them on the same playing field. I think it makes them both see, like, we are both pawns in a much bigger game. We are just two pieces, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But we are the same.
Mm.
We are the same.
I like that a lot.
I think it's, once again, it's holding a mirror up to each other, right? You know, notably, there's no mirrors in this scene, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're the mirrors for each other.
I agree. And I think in different ways, like, kind of like he's like holding up a mirror to each other.
Yeah. Being right? Like, I see you. Yeah. You seem, and like, and this is what you look like.
Yeah. I agree. But I also think that they mirror each other, right? I mm-hmm. think they yeah. see themselves in each other. I think that Eve sees her own darkness and Villanelle's darkness. And yeah. Villanelle sees her own humanity in Eve's humanity.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
And
I
in that way, they are each other's mirrors. And they hold up mirrors up to the other.
Yeah. Which I think is why there's a lack of them in this scene. Because mm-hmm. it emphasizes them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that. I love that. They are the same, you know?
And we see, I think in this scene is the first time that we really see that, right? Mm-hmm. We really see their similarities.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the fact that Eve, like, sees through her bullshit. She's like, I'm holding up a mirror to you. Like, I know who you are. I can see you.
It's kind of going back to, like, that bus scene, right? Where they're those intersecting lines, right?
Mm-hmm.
And them, they can crash that foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
ugh, so good.
And then, again, she's like, I see you, right? This is your prison file. And so I think Villanelle is like, what does it say? Kind of like, what do you see?
Yeah, you know? I want to know what you think it is. Because mm-hmm. she knows what's in that file. She knows her mm-hmm. backstory.
And then Eve, you know, is like, why castration? Like, what did he do to you? Like, tell me. And I think this is Eve trying to manipulate her, right? Being like, you know, like, you can open up to me, like, woman to woman, like, what's going yeah. on? Like, I'm here for you. And again, kind of like pulling the manipulation card. Again, mm-hmm. they are similar.
And I think Villanelle does something that we've seen her do with Constantine a lot, which mm-hmm. is where she deflects with humor, where we get this great line, right? She says, okay, but can we get one thing clear before we go on with this? And there's some friendliness and familiarity to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
She says, is that a sweater attached to a shirt? Is it two pieces?
Yeah.
Like, how does it work?
I think it's really funny because it's actually something I was also wondering yeah. during the scene.
It's really silly. Yeah. But I also am like, yeah, why would you buy a shirt like that? Maybe it's more economical? I don't know. It just seems really silly.
And at this point, Eve looks like she's about to laugh.
Yeah, like, she's really amused by what Villanelle says. Yeah. She, like, purses her lips a little, like, she's yeah. trying to refrain from, like, laughing.
Yeah, like, just for, like, a fraction of a second. And I don't know if this is Eve, if this is Sandra Oh, like, what's going on? I didn't catch it until, like, this last, like, run-through that I saw it. But I think that's really interesting, especially because after that she says, why Bill, right? Like, she's trying to kill the mood for herself.
Yeah, I don't think she does it for Villanelle. I think she does it for herself more than anything.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I need to not get carried away. I need to not be charmed by her.
Yeah, but she is. She really is. She can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, ooh, we get the hand. Villanelle mm-hmm. reaches out and places her hand, her right hand, on Eve's left hand, mm-hmm. which is where her wedding ring is.
Mm-hmm. She covers it up.
Mm-hmm.
She covers up the wedding ring.
And she's like, he was slowing you down. And I think this is two pieces, right? I think Bill was slowing her down, and I think Nico is slowing her down.
And I think, you know, when she says slowing you down, I think it's like, he's in the way, right? Like, he won't let us play the game.
Mm-hmm. And he won't let you be your most authentic self, mm-hmm. I think, also. Mm-hmm. Like, I know who you really are, you know? Mm-hmm. I like it. And then, ooh, Eve gets so upset because she's getting called out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she gets upset because of Bill, and I think to some extent because of Nico
mm-hmm.
and the normalcy of her life. And she grabs the knife, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and Villanelle jumps up real quick.
Yes. And she's like, don't do that.
And she has both, like, she's holding both her hands yes. down. Yes.
She's like, don't do that. And she does it anyway, because mm-hmm. Eve doesn't listen. And Villanelle takes control real quick.
Okay, at what point did she get the knife?
She just does.
She just does, because that's who she is.
She just spins around, gets the knife, pushes her against, like, the fridge.
Mm-hmm.
She's complete control. And she, like, is pointing the knife, right, like...
At her chest.
At her chest. So intimate. Mm-hmm. And she says, it's worse when I push it in slowly. Mm. Don't make me. And to me, this reminds me of when she was, like, fighting with Nadia, right? And she was like, yeah. I don't want to fight, like, because I don't want to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
But then she, like, fucking decks her. But she doesn't hurt Eve, right?
No, she doesn't want to.
She doesn't want to hurt Eve.
She's more tender, I think, with Eve, because I think they are more equals. Her and Nadia were not equals at mm-hmm. all. Oh my god. And then Villanelle puts her arm, like, rests her arm against, like, the fridge. And then she, like, leans in and she, like, smells Eve's neck, right?
Yes.
And I'm out here, like, once again, leaving my body. I'm out here, like, on a different plane, all right? They are so close.
The queer plane of existence.
Yes, I'm gone, okay? I have left. But I am present enough to see Eve turn her head slightly to give Villanelle a little bit more access to her neck.
And she, like, closes her eyes, right?
Yeah, like, she's giving in.
Oh, my God. There is no heterosexual explanation for this.
No, only homosexual rationale for that man. Yeah. That is queer. That is gay. Okay, oh, you are in love. God. That is your soulmate. You are what? You know, like,
And I think Villanelle is out here, like, you know, we said she doesn't hurt her, right? She doesn't want to hurt her. Mm-hmm. I think she just kind of wants to scare her, and she wants to show her how much of a top she can be.
Yeah.
You know?
And I like when she pulls back and she, like, looks at her and she has this moment of, like, amazement mm-hmm. and also, like, I think pure arousal, right?
Oh, my God, yeah.
And she's like, are you wearing it?
Yes. Ugh. Oh, my God. And it's, like, again, like, the perfume is called, like, La Villanelle, right? Like, mm-hmm. she is wearing her.
Yes.
She's wearing her on her body because that's what she wants. She wants Villanelle on
all
her
over.
Body. Oh, my God.
All over her.
It's so good. And at this point, also, we really get a really good look at the height difference, mm. which I really love.
I do, too. It's so cute. She's so small.
Yeah.
I love her.
And then Eve, you know, kind of, like, dark Eve rises momentarily, and she says, I'm going to find the thing you care about, and I'm going to kill it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I think she says this mainly for herself, mm-hmm. right? Because what does Villanelle really care about at this point? It's probably, like, frivolous things.
Yeah.
But yeah. We know.
We know. Eventually, what Villanelle really does genuinely care about is Eve. Mm-hmm. Right? And I think in the most twisted, strange, like, metaphorical way, Eve will kill herself, right? Like, she will kill this version of herself.
Mm-hmm.
But not in this kind of revenge-y way that she's alluding to,
mm-hmm.
but in a submission, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, she's gonna give
submission.
In.
She's gonna give in, she's gonna kill this part of herself, mm-hmm. and she's gonna really just completely let go.
Yeah. Oh my god. I'm so excited. Okay, and then she panics when she hears the door open, right?
Yes.
And it's Nico and Dom.
Yes.
And she's like, she immediately drops this, like, yes. Dark Eve. And she's like...
Bottom Eve.
Yeah, she cowers right back mm-hmm. in. And she's like, oh, please, please. And, like, begging her not to, like, reveal what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, like, don't out me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, don't out me.
Which I think is interesting because it's her being like, you see this side of me. You have this part of me that my husband does not.
I love that. Oh, my God. Oh boy.
And so Villanelle, like, grabs her phone, right? She's like, what's your PIN?
This is, like, kind of so funny. And then, like, Eve's out here, like, choking out, like, 1, 2.
She's
like a tear, like, dripping down. She's like, 3. And the second tear comes down. 4. Like, Eve, you work at MI6, girl.
Why is your pin 1, 2, 3, 4?
Yes.
And why is she so dramatic about the way she said it?
She's like, you're crying. And it really reminds me of the memes going around where Eve, you know, being a little bit older, being mm-hmm. like, look at this Facebook meme I found. And it's like a minion or something. And Villanelle just being like, ha, ha, ha. Like...
It has that same energy,
yeah,
right?
Like, I don't understand technology. I'm just gonna do something I can easily remember.
Yeah, like, that's so funny. And then Villanelle switches, right? Like, she slips into this British accent, this little persona, like, so smoothly, so quickly, right in front of Eve's eyes, right? And
Eve is flustered.
She's flustered. She's low-key horrified. She's like, how did you do that so easily, so quickly?
Like amazement, impressment, but flustered, but angry, but confused, but horny. And, you know, like, ooh.
Yeah, and she does that. And I think it's really funny because even though she looks kind of horrified by it and all these things, she ends up doing the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
I really like when Villanelle leaves, right? Mm-hmm. And she sees Nico and she's like, oh, hi. Mm-hmm. And then she walks out and then she says, oh, thanks, Eve. That was delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like smiling, like even as she like closes, like you can see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really do think that she thought this was a delicious experience. Oh, she was yes. fed.
Yes.
You know?
And we were fed.
We were also. Yeah. We were also.
And then Nico walks into the kitchen and sees mm-hmm. Eve. And then it's Eve who switches into this persona, right, of the happy, normal wife.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, kind of like I said before, like, she does the same thing.
Yeah.
She...
Absolutely.
She slips into this persona, into this role that she's so used to playing and has been playing for years. And, again, it's that mirroring, right? Of mm-hmm. They mirror each other. They're a lot more similar than you would think that they are, right? And I think that's the really big thing that we learn from this whole scene of them together.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Oh, yes. Okay, we need to digest this information, so we will be right back after this quick break.
Welcome back to the show. So we are at Carolyn's house.
And Eve is, like, panicked. She's, like, pounding on that door. She's like, ma'am, I need help.
Yeah.
She said, I had a date.
She tells her, you know, essentially what happened. And Carolyn is having a dinner party, but she's like, all right, come in. Like, Kenny's my son. You don't have time to react. Also, this puppy's name is Martin. Let's go.
Yeah. I think it's really funny. But Eve.
Welcome back to the show. So we are at Carolyn's house.
And Eve is like panicked. She's like pounding on that door. She's like, ma'am, I need help.
Yeah.
She said, I had a date.
She tells her, you know, essentially what happened. And Carolyn is having a dinner party, but she's like, all right, come in. Like, Kenny's my son. You don't have time to react. Also, this puppy's name is Martin. Let's go.
Yeah. I think it's really funny when Eve walks in and she tells Carolyn, like, what happened briefly. And she's like, she took my phone. She was in my house. And we had a sort of fight, I think. Like, it sounds like something you say, like, with your girlfriend or, like,
yeah, like
someone you're just dating. And, like, you're in that weird phase of, like, kind of figuring things out. And you fight, but it's awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think we fought, like.
Yeah. Oh, that's so funny.
And then it's Kenny, Carolyn, they're upstairs and they're chatting and mm-hmm. Eve like gives them like a quick debrief and Carolyn's like, are you hurt? And Eve's like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And Carolyn goes into like, okay, this is what we're gonna do.
Yeah. And then Eve like interrupts her, right? And takes mm-hmm. control of that conversation and she starts making demands.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, I need forensics at my house. I need protection for my husband. But most importantly, we need to move Frank now.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that she finally is worrying about Nico, but she still makes it a point to say, like, work still comes first.
Yeah, I think Frank is in more immediate danger and this is known, but at the same time, like, she doesn't, like, it's not a priority. You could do both at the same time, I bet.
Yeah.
But she doesn't.
She's like, I think the fact that she says, most importantly,
mm-hmm. Frank.
Yeah.
Oh,
and then,
God.
Speaking of Frank, we're at the safe house, right? And Frank is brushing his teeth. And Villanelle, like, pops up behind him.
She pops up. Like, she's adorable. And she's, like, fixing her jacket and looking real cute.
Yeah.
But she's got blood all over
covered
her front.
Covered in blood. Yeah. And he just, like, screams and collapses to,
like,
the ground.
He's, like, a dude in distress, right? He just crumples.
And she calls him a squealer, which I think is cute.
And then he's like, are you gonna kill me?
And she nods, and she's like, but first, I'm gonna use you for sex. And then she laughs, and she does, like, the smallest, most adorable little snort.
Yes, and she's like, it's just a joke.
I think that Villanelle is genuinely just in a good mood, because she had a date with a pretty girl.
She did.
You know, and she's like, she didn't, like, get her phone number, but she got her entire phone.
She's like, that's how it works, right? And it's like, no, girl.
No, honey, it's the digits.
She's like, but I got the whole thing. I win.
Even better.
That useless ass gay, like.
And then Frank tries to negotiate with Villanelle, you know, she's mm-hmm. like, do you want money? And she's like, I have money. And like,
I like the way she says it though. He's like, I have a lot of money. And she's like, so do I.
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's so good. And then he's like, I have children. And she's like, I don't want your like gross ass kids.
And he's like, no, I have children to take care of. And she's like, no, this will give them something to bond over.
Yeah.
Like, it's great, don't worry about it, I'm doing you a favor. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's go.
And so he's really scared, right? And mm-hmm. Villanelle's like, are you scared because you don't know what happens after you die? And
yeah.
Then she has this whole thing, right? She's like, your eyes will just empty. Then your soul goes in. People think that your soul or personality or whatever leaves the body when you die. I swear, it just goes further in. It falls so far in and just becomes so small that it can't control your body anymore. It's just in there, dying forever.
And
the way
he's, like,
she
sobbing.
Yeah, and the way she says it is, like, almost, like, laughing, almost, like, like, isn't that silly? Isn't that just, like...
Yeah, she's something. Like, I have a better relationship with death because I've seen it so much. And she's like, and this is my theory, and I'm going to share it with you because I'm in a good mood. Like,
yeah.
I think it's fascinating that that's how she views death.
Which is not reassuring at all for Frank.
No, I don't think it's meant to be.
Also, this, like, little, like, line of, like, this theory of, like, what happens after you die, it haunts me. I think a lot about it when I'm out here having my existential crises.
Oh, no! You have to tell me! Oh, God. I love you. Please don't do that. Please tell me next time.
I'll tell you. I'll let you know when I'm having my existential crisis.
And we can have one together. Okay.
But yeah, then Villanelle's like, I'm gonna kill you nicely first, but then I'm going to make a mess of your body afterwards, so it looks worse than it is, just so you know, okay?
Yes, and then he's like, he panics, he's like, can we do it in the bedroom? I think he wants to buy time. Yeah. And she looks at him, she's kind of like, she's like, I have a thing for bathrooms, actually. Mm-hmm. But you know, this is the title of this episode, yes. Which I love that we're actually getting the line this time. Mm-hmm. And I really, my theory behind why she wanted to do it in the bathroom is because she had that whole, like, weird exchange with Eve and the toilet brush thing, and when they first meet up, and, like, in the bathroom of her, like, house. Mm-hmm. And I think she really wanted to create this scene. Like, she had an idea of a scene, and it was gonna probably be, like, Frank in a bathtub or something with the water on and, like, the toilet brush and the dress. Like, she was gonna do a whole thing, but she kind of, like, relents.
Yeah. Because she's in a good mood.
She's in a good mood.
She's like, okay, fine. She's like, we can do it in the bedroom. Like, that'll do.
That'll do, Duncan. That'll do.
I also think that she's being nice, right? Like, nice, you know, as nice as Villanelle can be when she's about to kill someone. She's like, she tells him, like, this is what I'm gonna do with you. Like, I'm gonna kill you nicely, and then I'm gonna do things to you, just so you know, in case you care about that stuff. Also, sure, we could do it in the bedroom, because I'm in a good mood. Yeah, right.
Like, we'll be okay. And then they go to the bedroom, and Frank looks like he's being led down the hall. And she's so small behind him, but he still seems much smaller.
Yes.
Because he's so afraid. And then once he gets in, he, like, grabs a chair, and he, like, holds it up, and he's, like, gonna, like, defend himself, like, and attack her.
What is he gonna do?
She, like, looks at him, and she's so annoyed. And then she, like, slaps it away, and then grabs him by the shirt, and, like, gets real close to him.
And, like, slaps him.
The height difference is so intense, but he still looks so weak in comparison.
And she slaps him, he's like, don't get me excited.
It's so
she's
funny.
So fucking funny. I think she's really out here, like, trying to be really focused and meticulous and, like, set everything up for the perfect scene for Eve to find.
Yeah.
And she's like, don't get me riled up or I'll go feral.
Once again, this house cat, or, like, this, like, outdoor cat that's like, I'm trying to do my best, okay? But I am gonna enjoy this to some extent. Like, don't make me enjoy this in a different way.
Yeah. And then she sits down in the chair that Frank was just trying to use the weapon, which is, I think, is really powerful. Just crosses her legs. She's like, undress.
Yes.
Which is, it's really powerful. And then this dumb ass, like, tell me why he takes off his pants before he takes off his shoes.
Because he's incompetent. I really do think, I don't think he knows how to undress. Maybe he's like, if I take my pants off, but I keep my shoes on, I can run. But idiot, you're about to die. Like, we all know.
And he's like, what do you want from me? And she's like, your penis. And he's like, oh,
what? Like, he spins around. He's like, what? Like, he's so dumb. Stupid. This is the last scene we have of Frank before he's dead. You know? The last living scene. Is this maybe like, oh, with his pants down, you know?
And his shoes on.
And then we're outside of, I assume later, right?
Yeah.
Eve is at the safe house, and the SWAT team is, like, moving in, you know, to go see, like, if they can get Frank and stuff. And, you know, they're waiting, they're listening to the feedback from the SWAT team, and the first beat, it's, like, it's silent, right? It's pretty calm. And then when they tune back in, they're, like, screaming. Because they're like, ah! And Eve is, like, out here, like, ready to go in.
Yeah. And Carolyn has to stop her.
Yeah, she's like, no, ma'am. And they hold back. And you can see that Eve's, like, antsy. And then they come on again. They're like, we have one male who is in, like, need of immediate medical attention. And Eve is like, I have to go.
Yeah. And Carolyn just kind of looks at her, like, kind of judgmentally. I think...
She's worried.
I think she's worried, but I also think that Carolyn is one of the very first people who recognizes that darkness in Eve and starts to get worried. Not necessarily for her, but for this operation as a whole.
Yes, I think Carolyn really values control, and I think Eve lacks control a lot of the time.
Like, self-control.
Yes. So I think that's something that she really struggles with when it comes to seeing Eve start to break down in regards to this investigation. And Villanelle.
Yeah, in regards to, like, Villanelle specifically.
Yeah. And then once she's inside, she goes down the hall, right? And they're directing her, and she sees Max, who's, like, bleeding out on the floor, right? And some other guy that we never met, who's face down like a fish. And then she goes inside, right? And then, you know, she goes down the hall, right? And she doesn't fully go into the room. She just kind of, like, peeks, right? Because I think she's horrified. She's scared. And then that's when we see Frank dead on the bed, and he's, like, wearing the dress.
Without a peen.
Without a peen. Without a ding-dong.
And then she goes back outside to Carolyn, right? And she's like, she chopped his knob off.
Yeah.
And right after she says this, we have, like, Villanelle, like, making some sausages.
Yeah. I think this kill is really interesting because I very much so feel like it is a love letter from Villanelle to Eve saying, like, I really had a good time at our date. And, like, this is an ode to our conversation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And it's a breadcrumb, right? She's leaving breadcrumbs. She's saying, like, I really value our conversation and I want this to keep going.
Yeah, like, I'm ready for take two.
Yeah, very much so.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I think it's time
to rank that kill!
All right.
On Rank That Kill, we break down a Villanelle kill and discuss her fashion, persona, weapon of choice, flair, and most importantly, the psychopathy of it all. All right.
All right.
So I guess we'll start with fashion first.
Yes. So I don't like this outfit, right? Like, this outfit ain't it for me. She's been wearing it for, like, two episodes straight. It's probably just crusty.
Yeah.
At this point, I never really liked it to begin with.
Well, I think because it's the opposite of what Villanelle is.
Yeah.
It's not very flashy. It's very dull.
Yeah. You know? I will say I like the blood.
Yeah, the blood stains, it's like, a nice touch.
Yeah. So, overall, not great, but the blood gives it a nice little touch, so I give it a 4 out of 10.
Yeah, I give it a 4, too, which is really, well, a 4 as well. And I think the bloodstains are the only thing that really sell it for me. I don't think this outfit is horrible, but it's not great.
It's just boring, you know?
Yeah, which is not who Villanelle is, you know?
Yeah.
All right, next is persona.
I don't think she has a persona, so I don't really know what to rate, so I really just give it a 0 out of 10.
My God. I at least gave it a 1, and the reason I do is because it's playful Villanelle, right? We've never seen her be this way with a kill. She's really playful, she's really silly, and I think overall, she's more accommodating to her victim.
She is.
I don't know, I just think something about that is really interesting.
I mean, and I love that about her, but I think that I put under psychopathy.
That's fair. I'm still gonna give her a 1, though, because I love her. Alright, next is Flair.
Flair, I think... When I think about Flair, I think less about the kill itself and more about the scene setup.
Yeah, I think, like, that's the intended purpose of
that
it.
That is the flair of the kill.
Yeah.
This message, like you said, this love letter to Eve. So I actually ranked this kind of high. I gave it a 7 out of 10.
Yeah, I give it a 7 as well. I really love the dress because it's paying tribute to Eve and how she wore it on their first date, right? But then at the same time, she chopping off... Frank's knob, I think, goes back to, like, why castration, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're trying to learn more about me, but I'm not gonna let you, and I'm just gonna do it again to show you, like, it doesn't matter to me.
Yeah.
I think to some extent. And I think this kill and the setup of all of it, I really do think is Villanelle saying, like, I want to pay tribute to our first date and also do it in what brought us together, which are all these kills and all these murders that I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I give it a 7. Okay, next is weapon of choice.
Weapon of choice, you know, she uses, like, a little knife thing. Mm-hmm. It's very simple, very efficient. I really like seeing her with the knife. I think it's very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
I also like that it's the same weapon that Eve had, right? Like, in the kitchen table.
Like a knife.
Yeah, it's kind of like a throwback to that, I think. Kind of a strong weapon choice, not over the top, not, you know, super creative, but it gets the job done.
Mm-hmm.
I give it a 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I give it a 6 out of 10 as well. We're really on track.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, I think it's just a tribute to the conversation she had with Eve and their interaction. Finally is psychopathy.
Ooh.
Well, girl, I give this a 10 out of 10.
I also give this a 10 out of 10.
This is a whole love letter to Eve. She's like, she's pulling her back into the game fully. She's like, let's get going, girl. Let's go. Breadcrumbs, here they go. That's what I think she's doing 100%.
I agree. And the fact that she's in such a good mood as she's killing someone or as she's about to kill someone.
And she's been so bored recently.
Yeah. It's so fascinating to witness, you know, and to observe. And she's so excited and she's so dedicated to making sure the scene looks perfect for Eve.
Yeah. She really does her best. I really appreciate it.
Like, this is when she starts, you know, to, like, dedicate her kills to her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, this is for you.
Yeah, I want you to know. Fully, without a doubt, this is about us.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay, what's your total?
My overall score is 5.4 out of 10.
I give this a 5.6. I think Persona pushed it up for me.
Yeah.
5.6 out of 10. I'm going to call this the mole kill because I don't like Frank, so I'm just going to call him the mole.
Okay. That's fine, the mole kill.
Yeah.
So where does it stand on your bye-bye board?
I think this is the bottom of the list. Same. So like number 6 for me.
Yeah, same.
All right, keep an eye out for our bye-bye boards. We do update those, so keep an eye out. So finally, we are back in Paris in Villanelle's apartment, and she's, of course, like, right after Eve says that line, she cut his knob off, and then Villanelle's, like, cooking sausages.
Also, those sausages look good.
Yeah, she, like, pours honey on them. I think this, like, the way it's set up, too, it's very dark, and I think the fact that Villanelle's just like, I'm just gonna cook some sausage now.
Yeah, I feel like she, like, you know, chopped off his penis, or his knob, and then was like, you know what I'm in the mood for now?
Sausage. Yeah, boy. I think it's so funny. And she's just, like, telling this, like, lie, right? About yes. the job and how it all went south and how, like, Small Bladder Man ended up dead. And mm-hmm. Nadia was, like, dead, too, in her mind.
Yes. She's, you know, saying this to Constantine.
Who's helping her cook.
Yeah, which I think is really cute.
He's, like, stirring something. Probably eggs.
Yeah, you can see, like, the eggshells, like, around yeah. and stuff. But Constantine keeps, like, poking holes in her story, right? Because it's not a good story. Mm-mm. Like, she didn't think this through. And it's really interesting because we know that she's a good liar. She's an excellent liar. But she did not come up with a good lie for this. And she's not mm-hmm. lying well. And I think it's because she's so distracted.
She is. I think Eve flustered her. And mm-hmm. I think she didn't have time to come up with a plan. And I think she's been very preoccupied only thinking about Eve. Mm-hmm. Her mind is full of one thing only.
I agree. And then she has that wonderful line when she's like, I didn't want to tell you this part of the story because I knew you would be jealous. I had to use my tits.
And we get like a half Constantine laugh. And he's like, you killed him with your tits? And she's yeah. like, well, when he was looking at them, silly.
Yeah,
like,
it's so cute. It's so funny. Also, Villanelle looks fucking amazing in this
She like
scene.
Took a shower. And
Fine,
then,
thank God.
And then she put on a great robe. I love Villanelle in a robe. Oh my God, yes. And then Constantine drops like this bomb, right? And he's like, Nadia is still alive.
Yes.
And Villanelle's like, no, he went over her twice. Mm-hmm. She's nervous.
Yes. But Constantine tells her, like, no, she's alive. And essentially you have to go kill her before she starts telling mm-hmm. her version of the story.
Mm-hmm. And she's all worried. And she's like, where is Nadia? And this is when Constantine informs her that she's in Russia.
Mm-hmm. And Villanelle's like, essentially, like, I can't go like, to no. Russia. Yeah, I'm not going to Russia. You know, mm-hmm. we've known that she doesn't speak Russian. We know that, like, now we know that she doesn't want to go to a whole country, right? She's like, mm-hmm. what about Anna?
And at this point, yeah, like, yeah. who's Anna? Yeah, like, we don't know.
Yeah, as an audience at this point, we're like, who is this person that they keep mentioning that clearly has a really large effect on,
emotionally
on the psychopath, you know?
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting because I think she's really afraid of going back to Russia. Like, mm-hmm. it scares her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the last time and only time we see her really speak Russian is when she talks to Nadia to manipulate her. Mm-hmm. And then she immediately runs over Nadia. And I really do think this, like, her running over Nadia was her trying to, like, kill the Russian part of her. To, mm-hmm. like, get rid of it. Mm-hmm. She's trying to destroy any attachment she has mm-hmm. to Russia.
Yes, I think she's greatly avoiding Russia. Like, she's not even speaking Russian, right? And I think mm-hmm. she has a lot of negative feelings about Russia, probably, like, stuff from her childhood, stuff with Anna, stuff with, like, in prison, mm-hmm. and, like, she doesn't want to go back there.
Definitely.
And I think, once again, because this is one of those moments where Villanelle is more vulnerable, right? Because she's, you know, like, worried about Russia, she uses this as an opportunity to kind of turn the tables, right, and take back that control, take back that power, and say, what number are you? Mm-hmm. You're not 12. Mm-hmm. And Constantine is like, oh dear.
Yes, because he is worried. And I think Constantine is really worried, and I think it's interesting that this is how the episode ends. It ends with Villanelle being worried about going to Russia.
And
we're worried for her.
I think the big thing is that she is beginning to question
who she works for.
Yeah.
Something, and what they're doing.
Yeah, something she didn't care about before. But now after talking with Eve, she's beginning to question, like, who am I working for? What does it mean? Who am I in the grand scheme of things?
Yeah,
like,
definitely.
She's no longer the center of it all, and she's worried about not having information that she should probably have. Yeah. You know, like, the fact that someone outside of this organization knows more than mm-hmm. her troubles her, because information is power.
Information is power. What are your overall impressions of this episode?
This episode is amazing.
It's iconic.
It's iconic, right? We have them together. We have their first date. Oh, yes. Man. But also, I think the big thing for me is the mirroring of it all. like the fact that we see how similar they are, and the rise of Dark Eve.
Rise, girl. Yes, embrace who you truly are. I think as a viewer, I feel like I was fed. Okay, I was given Villanelle and Eve in the same room. And really, anytime these two come together, I really do feel like they crash into each other. Mm. And that is so exciting. Mm-hmm. Like the intensity of that. And since it's really the very first time they're in a room together and they're talking, I feel so excited. Like, this is everything that this show, like, mounts up to, right?
Yes.
Like, Phoebe Waller-Bridges said that the whole show is designed to get these two into a room together.
Yes.
It's the whole purpose.
Mm-hmm. And it's so good. It's so good. And we're getting a taste of that, right? Like, we were fed. Mm-hmm. And it's so good. And it makes me so excited for when they meet again in the future, right? It's so good. And like you said, like, these breadcrumbs are beginning. Mm-hmm. Like, we have the Fat Panda kill, right? Where Villanelle used Eve's name. And now we have this kill where she used Eve's dress. And it's like, now it's a pattern, right? Like, now mm-hmm. I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to leave these breadcrumbs for you. And I'm going to dedicate these kills to you.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I'm so excited. All right. And that's the episode.
That's the episode. We done did it.
We done did it.
All right. Thank you for listening to this episode of Wear It Down, the Queer Killing Eve podcast. We post new episodes every Sunday at noon Central Time. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave us a review so we can continue growing.
You can follow us on social media on Tumblr, Twitter, and Instagram at Wear It Down Pod. Email us if you have any questions or comments, or if you just want to say hi at wearitdownpod@gmail.com. Bye.
Bye.